Nobody better in my mind to wrap the season with, because Grant is both inside this stuff, covering the team, and also emotional about it.
And another former coworker
feels
of mine.
Strongly. Oh.
Yeah. Santa Rosa Press Democrat, baby. Born and bred.
Man, you just did a regular writer's tour of the Bay Area.
Yeah,
didn't
that was where I started as an intern.
All right.
Yeah, I got to see my name next to Grant.
Have you ever worked with Sam Amick?
I have not.
Well, you get a chance to. Coming up at 9:30, he will join us for some NBA talk. Austin Gale, you want to talk about the granular, deep football stuff that we need to talk about with the Niners and how to build this team into something moving forward. Nobody better than Austin Gale, the NFL editor for Pro Football Focus. So lots to do today, much of it around football. We, of course, will mix in some Warriors there, but let's just start with the end of the 49ers season, because I think how you view this season says a lot about you as a football fan. Frankly, it says more about you as a football fan than it does about the Niners. But it also dictates what you're expecting moving forward, what you think next year will look like, all that sort of stuff. So let me ask you, Tommy Call, football expert, what is your... Give me the one-paragraph summary, if you can, of how you feel this Niners season went.
I think it was a wake-up call. I mean, I think a lot of people in this area really were expecting big things from the 49ers. I mean, I flirted with it. It was hard not to, the way the season ended with Jimmy Garoppolo. As exciting of a coach as Kyle Shanahan really is, it's just we got to see all kind of the holes it exposed. Not only did the Garoppolo injury, it showed a lot of things, that improvement. I think a lot of people are going to have that hope for playoffs next season. And
again,
this season might have been the example that might not be the case. So I'm interested in seeing Grant's, you know, how he feels about this team, and even Austin going forward, because in the Bay Area, it's such a tight group that we all feel that way. But I think,
you know what's interesting?
Outside,
I'm a Bears fan, as I think most people who've heard me on this station know. I'm wearing my Khalil Mack jersey right now. And thanks, baby, for the Christmas
nice
present,
Christmas
by the
present.
Way. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Anyway, I grew up with a team that stunk as often as it was good. And really, in my lifetime, the Bears have never, they've never really been great. I shouldn't say in my lifetime. Obviously, the 85 Bears is in my lifetime. But in my, really, you know, I was four.
Yeah.
So in my football fan, semi-adult life, the Bears went to the Super Bowl in 2006 with a terrible quarterback and an incredible defense, and it was a wonderful time, and I'll never forget Devin Hester's kick return. But
was Rex Grossman the original
We don't need to talk about Rex Grossman. This is exactly the point. And yes, he was. But anyway, I'm used to struggles. 49er fan. Well, I actually saw classic 49er fan Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky tweet about this. That young Niner fans are used to losing, but the our demographic, essentially, Niner fans over 25 or 30, they grew up with consistent high-level success. They grew up believing Super Bowl contention is a birthright.
Yeah.
This is just what happens. And so, frankly, if you ask me, they haven't handled the losing all that well, but I'm not advocating for handling losing well, so that's fine. I do think there's confusion about, oh, well, if you're any good at all, you just make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? I think that is part of the issue here. And that's why I think guys like Grant occasionally, in my view, and Grant knows I think this and not speaking out of school, get way out over their skis with the criticism.
Mm-hmm.
A month ago, he said John Lynch is worthless, should be fired, and has no chance to ever be a good GM. I just think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
He might not end up being a good GM. I'm just saying we don't know right now. So my point is, I think Niner fan, as a monolith, if you will, immediately, if you start saying this team has something, a bell goes in their minds. Well, if we got something, we're going to the playoffs. We're competing for a Super Bowl. And that's not necessarily the case, especially in today's NFL. I think the other side of that is the Niners are one of 20 NFL teams that could very easily finish anywhere from 6-10 to 10-6 next year. Very easily.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting what you said about the state of wanting to win growing up as a winner. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big deal in the NFL.
Because as a Dolphins and A's fan, about losing. And, you know about a lot even, about losing.
Even when your team is relatively good, I've seen the Dolphins go to the playoffs twice in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And even those years, I felt like they had no hope.
Right.
Because you're conditioned to be a loser.
That's what Bears fandom is like.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think for the 49er fan, that is conditioned to be a winner, the opposite of that. I think that's a good thing, having those type of hope. So hearing the conversation of tanking as early as it came about in this season once Jimmy G went down.
Oh, it triggers Niner fans, man.
Yeah, and that triggered me because you want to be a winner. You want to be this team. You know, when I think of the NFL, you know, top tier level teams, you think of teams like the Patriots, you know, the Packers, the Cowboys to an extent, the 49ers and the Steelers, all those things. And you always want to be that. And I feel like this is the first time they might be trudging towards that level since maybe the brief Harbaugh era. So it's a positive thing, but at the same time, I guess it can be harmful for the things that you were saying.
Well, I'll say this about the Harbaugh era. It's the best era in the York ownership, obviously. But
Are you more excited right now for year three of, what is this, year? It'll be year three of Kyle Shanahan than you were year three of Jim Harbaugh?
I don't know if I'm more excited about the team because year three of Harbaugh, weren't we just coming off a Super Bowl appearance?
Yeah.
So that team, and look, full disclosure, the early days of Colin Kaepernick, I thought he had a chance to be a Hall of Famer.
I'd be surprised if anyone who watched football day in and out didn't.
He was mind-blowing in those early days. And so, yeah, I probably had higher expectations, but I do feel like this is a more sustainable program from the top.
Yeah. And
because we have there's like coordination between ownership and front office and coaching. And they seem not only to like each other, but to have a plan.
And I think that really speaks to guys like Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. I mean, this team has 10 wins in two seasons. And we're even discussing the excitement level to be off a team that came from the Super Bowl.
And
so the fact to have that and not this middle area of mediocrity is a big deal that I think should generate some hope for those who, you know, like you said, I'm a draft guy. For those who criticize Lynch so quickly in the draft, I feel like just having that type of hope, like Dolphins, Bears fans, any other fans out there, Browns fans until recently, who going into the draft, having the number two overall pick is almost a lock to be a bust. Even if he's decently okay, you think he's going to be terrible because of who drafted him. I don't think we're there yet with John Lynch.
It's insane to suggest that we know anything about how good of a drafter John Lynch is. Because we just don't. Now, judging a draft after 2 years to me is insane. Judging it after 1 year, like, what are we even talking about?
But that's just what we do.
Of course.
I love it.
That's the world we live in, folks.
And that's what gets guys like me get paid.
That's right. Good luck with that. I would like to hear from the people. And I am remiss for not giving a legal ID at the top of the show. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. I have no idea if that still counts for the FCC. Fingers crossed. Fingers truly crossed. In any event, we are getting into the Niners season. And I think the basic question comes down to, what was this season for you? Tommy just kind of said it. You can look at this season as, God, another losing season. We once again, different regime, same results. Four wins, we stink, we've stunk for years. Harbaugh was the only thing good of the entire York ownership. I want to vomit. That's one way. You can also look at it as, this is part of the process. And I know that word also triggers some people, but this is what it takes to build up from the level of embarrassment you'd reached by the end of the Trent Baalke era, is a couple years of ugly building, but heading the right direction.
Yeah, I think the ugly building, though, this is almost, it's a weird middle ground where I don't think that the building is there. It's not built.
Right.
And I don't think it's close. Like, the foundation may be laid if we're going to get there.
That is where we might disagree, because close in the NFL is very relative. So you tell us. 888-957-9570 is the phone number. The Chilton Auto Body text line, 95795. You let us know. Was this a disastrous loss season, another in a series of disastrous loss seasons? Or was this an important part of building up towards the resurgence of 49er football? I'm Matt Kolsky alongside Tommy Call.
Let's go.
957thegame.com contributor, NFL draft expert. We got Grant Cohen coming up at 8:50, but we got you coming up next. 888-957-9570. Tell us how you feel about your Niners on 957 The Game.
I was a fiend before I became a teen. I melted microphones instead of cones of ice cream. Music orientated. So when hip-hop was originated, fit it like pieces of puzzle. Complicated. Because I grabbed
now
the mic and try to say,
yes,
sure, they try to take
the game.
It and say that I'm too small. Cool. Because I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull a plug, then I jet.
Hello. Without a mic, we are in the lab. I heard this on my way in this morning, and the first thing I said to our board operator, James, is I need to hear Microphone Fiend in the show today. Shouts to Eric B and Rakim. I'm Matt Kolsky, sitting next to Tommy Call the Third.
Let's
follow him
it.
On Twitter. Are you just Tommy 3?
Underscore III.
Tommy underscore 3, Roman numeral style.
Yeah. I'm proud of that Twitter name. I feel like it's
good.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm the other way. I'm still sad that I got the Kolsky. Yeah. I desperately want at Kolsky, and it is being squatted on by someone allegedly named Amir Kolsky, and it is a constant source of frustration, but this is probably not the time to address it. Tommy is, of course, a 957thegame.com contributor, excellent writer, and even more excellent as a draft expert. We're going to get way into draft stuff throughout the show, but we're starting just with trying to understand what we just watched. The Niners season is over.
Winning with class.
I wouldn't call it that exactly.
Lollygag, loosey-goosey.
That's more accurate. I just look. Can we just, Richard Sherman.
Lollygag, loosey-goosey.
There was a little bit of that this year. All that being said, I think there are two views, and I could simply call them the positive and the negative view, or I could be a little more specific and say there's the view of, here we go again, another season of 6 wins or less. The Niners stink. They've stunk for a decade other than Harbaugh, and they'll continue to stink as long as the Yorks own the team. Or there's the other side of it, which is, look, mistakes have been made, but most of them were made a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And over the last couple years, we've been headed in the right direction. And even though this was a wins regression year, it was a program progression year. And I think that's my view. I think that's also your view.
Yeah.
And I think a huge part of that is the head coaching. And look, I've been Twitter bickering and radio bickering with people all year long about how I view this year for Kyle Shanahan and sort of the reductive view of, well, we were supposed to be good and instead we won 4 games, so the coach stinks.
Yeah.
To me, I saw stuff that makes me believe the coach doesn't stink.
Yeah.
And you, as someone who's picking apart the football on a slightly more granular level, I feel like we're in agreement here, right? Kyle Shanahan showed us this year he's really good at this.
Yeah, and I would say, though, I was one of these guys who was very critical of him, because I think guys in my position who think they know the X's and O's, you know, my dad can barely watch games with me because I'm screaming at, you know, coaching decisions on 2nd and 2 up by 14 points kind of thing, even though the Dolphins don't ever really do that.
Why'd you send the Z on and out? What are you doing?
So it's easy to criticize coaches, right? That's that's what we do, you know? And so when you lose a game like they lost to the Cardinals at home earlier this year, I thought things looked bleak. I really did. I was tough on them. And I think, honestly, you have the right to be. You know, Kyle Shanahan was proclaimed as this savior in a lot of ways, and I'm not taking anything away from that. And I do think he is one of the best younger coaches in the league. And I think, you know, like you said earlier, I am a Miami Dolphins fan. So I've watched Adam Gase, who just got fired, his whole career.
Yeah.
Right.
I've watched most of that guy's career, too, as a Bears fan.
As a Bears offensive coordinator. And I would say that Shanahan and Gase were on a similar level of these young offensive minded quarterback guru types.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dolphins have had more success than the 49ers have recently. I mean, if you call 7-9 or whatever they finished with this year's success, 6-10 last year. But, you know, this year they beat the Patriots on an incredible play, the Miami Miracle, you know, arguably the biggest win in Dolphins history of the last 40 years. I was talking about it, realistically, even bigger than some Marino wins. And I was trying to argue back and forth with my father, who got to see the Marino days and everything. And he was shaking his head at me like you are now. But in my lifetime, the biggest win by far.
Yeah, that's
and
rough.
You win that game and you control your own destiny to get into the playoffs.
And then you farted away down the stretch.
The next game, they go down 21-0 in the first quarter, and the whole team quits on Adam Gase. That did not happen. And that's why he's fired. You lose to a team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, led by Cody Kessler, the next week, and they get blown out by the Bills in the final week. That is almost a tale of two teams, right? We never saw that from this 49er team. And this is a bunch of practice squad guys who have no guarantee to be on this team going forward. And Kyle Shanahan still coached those guys up, and they bought into belief. I mean, you take a guy like George Kittle, who looks like a god out there. And this is a, you know, a fifth round draft pick. These are guys that weren't, these aren't big time players. You know, they don't have this. And Kyle Shanahan's getting these guys in the right position, and there's belief there. And that's why I think that's a huge thing, because it's so, I think culture more than any other sport is the biggest in the NFL. There is a true culture beats talent. A lot of times we see it almost every season. Last year with Nick Foles and the Eagles, you know, that team
this year with Nick Foles,
yeah,
and the
rallied
Eagles.
Around a backup quarterback. You know, it's a huge deal. And the 49ers have that. And that's my biggest positive. And you know, you want to talk about George Kittle on the field and all those other things and the guys who rose up and everything. Outside of anything, you know, Kyle Shanahan's getting this team to win and to be in the right position and to have it looks good. The football on the field looks good. The X's and O's side look good. The culture looks good. Two huge thing. Now, if the talent gets there, this is a team to be excited about. I truly believe that. And that's not 49ers shilling. I'm not a 49ers fan. Just watching the game day in and day out, I truly believe that because of Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, and there's a couple things about Shanahan, who, by the way, if you're a football fan and your team has been stinking, the best thing that can happen to you is a coach you have confidence in.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of every NFL turnaround. Some of them happen faster than the Niners have, but frankly, some rosters are in better shape than the Niners was when that guy takes over. But there is nothing that should encourage you more moving forward than the fact that you have a good coach, because end of the day, players are replaceable, especially anybody besides quarterback. Even if you think you got the best running back in the league, you can replace that guy pretty capably.
Yeah.
And look, I know the Steelers didn't make the playoffs and they might have with Le'Veon Bell, but James Conner was fine.
Yeah.
Right. Le'Veon Bell better, but James Conner was fine.
Yeah.
The reason the Steelers,
the Colts have
Marlon Mack is dominating people. The only position that's not replaceable is quarterback. And frankly, that explains a lot of what happened.
I'd put offensive line
year.
Up in there too. Left tackle, if that goes awry.
If you have a great left tackle, but even that, like, Charles Leno is the left tackle for the Bears.
Yeah.
You know, you can find a left tackle.
I disagree to an extent.
It's not as easy as finding a running back, but...
Yeah, the skill position sexy guys can be replaced, but there's some... I think, you know, you rank offensive line way up there. I'm a big believer in building through the trenches.
Don't get me wrong. If you lose Joe Staley and have to replace him with Gary Gilliam, you're screwed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, someone drafts a Joe Staley almost every year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, quarterback is the one truly irreplaceable position. And the only thing that might be of equal importance is head coach. And that's even more true when your head coach is the guy who's calling your plays.
Yeah.
Here's a text that I think is essentially where we both agree. 510 texter, I think the organization has the blueprint and the main pieces of the foundation with head coach and QB in place. Need 3 to 4 more impact players and need to stay healthy. I'd kick that up to 7 or 8 impact players.
Yeah.
But I think it's not just... And this is where I think your scouting expertise can come in handy, is it's not just that they've got head coach and QB, because we'll see about Jimmy, but fingers crossed, they've got head coach, hopefully they've got QB. I think the other part is they've got, like, the 15th through 50th best player on the roster.
Mm.
The depth is there.
Yeah.
The talent at the top is not there.
Yeah,
so the depth is playing. The depth is starting right now, and that's why you're losing. But it really is those 7 or 8 impact players.
Yeah.
And then, look, if Marcel Harris is your third safety, I think you feel okay if he's playing behind Earl Thomas.
Really impressed by him, by the way.
Yeah.
Really impressed
by him. If DJ Moore is your fourth corner, if, you know, this is the sort of stuff. Did I say DJ? Tavarius Moore is your fourth corner, and Akello Witherspoon's your third corner, and, you know, K'Wan Williams is starting in the slot, and it's Sherman and a free agent. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, we got a deep defensive backfield.
Yeah.
So it's the top that needs to be filled in. The last 4 or 5 weeks have shown us young talent, roster depth is already there.
Yeah, and I think what the 5-10 texter said, too, about the blueprint and plan, I think we really got to see that, and it was almost a downplayed story of when the 49ers, you know, everybody wanted them to sign Dez Bryant. People banged the table for them to sign a guy like Dez Bryant and spend that money. You know, they have it. They need to spend that money. And, you know, everybody wants to see teams spend money. We all want to see the big time. It's a fun story, but I think you got to see the 49ers plan for the long run by not spending that money and carrying it over to, and then you draft a guy like Mike McGlinchey, who I don't think maybe outside of Matt Maiocco and a few guys who are really plugged in, had them picking that guy. I mean, I think everybody wanted them to take a guy like Derwin James or Minkah Fitzpatrick or, you know, some defensive player. Offensive line wasn't really that need that a lot of people thought it was, especially with Trent Brown in place and whatnot. But you draft Mike McGlinchey, and I mean, this dude is a pillar. I mean, he's been arguably one of the best rookie first rounders in the league this year. I mean, he's a piece, you know,
and he's a foundational piece to your point, where, and so is Derwin James. And look,
so we get to see the plan isn't, you know, maybe it wasn't win this year and, or a type of thing, and build this roster to what we need. And a high draft pick isn't as big of a setback as, or, you know, that crowd out there that was playoffs. Maybe it's not as bad. That's what we saw from this season, that it might not be as bad that they didn't go all in this year.
I think there's a pretty decent chance that if Jimmy Garoppolo had stayed healthy and played the way I think he can play, because people forget, before the season ever started, I was saying over and over again, I think the Niners are going to lose 3 of their first 4, and I think they're going to end up pushing towards the playoff picture, because that's how their schedule broke down. The first 4 games, it was their hardest set of games. Of course, Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt before he got to play the soft part of the schedule. So he looked rough in their toughest games. And everyone, obviously, what happened after, everyone is angry and disappointed. I think, clearly you lose development time for Jimmy, and that's not good. But other than that, this could be the best thing to have happened to the Niners. Because, like we've just said, they got plenty of 5th and 6th round draft picks who look like they might have a decent NFL future. What they're missing is a top 5 guy.
Yeah.
So they really needed this top 5 draft pick, man. And
it's almost like the jersey thing. Like, whose jersey are you going to buy that's not Jimmy Garoppolo's? You know,
that's
wanting a player like that is I think easy to say for fans. You know what I mean?
That's exactly right, though. You need guys who sell jerseys, not because the Niners need the money, but because that's the level of player they need to add to this squad. Let's go to Kip in San Francisco. We're just trying to ask you, basically, how do you feel about the season? Is it important development time, or is it just another lost year without wins? What's up, Kip?
Good. I actually think loss is a kind of a harsh word in a way. I keep thinking, you know, watching all 16 games this year, I keep saying it's a missed opportunity. It's something that I think what you guys dived on earlier is the biggest thing is the development of Jimmy. I felt like this season, and again, going back to what you guys had a conversation about, is I didn't see this team going to playoffs this year, right? But I truly felt like they were going to make some noise given Jimmy being healthy. The reason I say that is that we saw a huge, huge development in Kittle. And one guy I really, really liked when Kyle drafted him is Dante Pettis. And I really, really wanted to see that chemistry of Dante and Jimmy grow this year, because given his route running and his, you know, catch ratios, I feel like this guy is going to be a special, special player with Jimmy, you know, and I felt like that was a lost opportunity. And also the installments that Kyle should have put out, you know, if this season would have been consistent without all these injuries, especially McKinnon.
Yeah, and Kip, I think when you talk about the sort of stuff Kyle can do, just Nick Mullins' physical limitations limit what Kyle Shanahan's able to do. And the fact that he was able to so consistently get wide receivers who I don't think any of us have a very high opinion of open with Nick Mullins as your quarterback and still effectively run the ball despite Matt Breida being in and out all year long and McKinnon being out all year long. That stuff's not a coincidence. You can't just coach successful offense in the NFL with bad players. Very few people can do that.
And I think Kip made a good point too about the evaluation, you know, of building these guys.
Well,
and
that's what you miss with Garoppolo for sure.
Yeah, but I think also what, you know, is kind of being unsaid because it's something that's easily forgotten is the development of that offensive line. You know, having Joe Staley step up, having Mike McGlinchey develop. How, you know, when we talked about C.J. Beathard last season, his biggest skill was how tough he was because how much we saw him get beat up, how much we saw him get sacked and just tore up. And a lot of the, it was scary to be like, oh, we're going to put Jimmy Garoppolo behind that offensive line. You go into next season with the offensive line in place right now, even with a guy like Weston Richburg, who's underperformed on a big contract, you're feeling pretty comfortable, right, Matt? I mean, it's not like you're scared he's going to get hurt again. I mean, I feel like that offensive line is at least middle tier in the NFL, which is something to be proud of.
I feel much better than I did a year ago, and McGlinchey's a huge part of that. I'm not sure I'm content. And especially, do we know the extent of Mike Person's injury? I mean, I know Garnett ended up coming in yesterday.
He is awful.
He's not great.
Yeah.
He's not great, and I think this, the sort of guard position scuttlebutt has been Tomlinson will stay. Oh, that's who I was talking about, not Person. Lakin. It was Tomlinson who got injured.
Yeah.
Yeah, do we know the extent of the knee? It was a knee, and he got carted off. So if he's out next year, Person is not under contract, and Garnett is not good. So
maybe a torn ACL for Lakin.
You might need two guards, depending on what happens with Person. And I think especially with Tomlinson going down, they'll try to re-sign Person. But you at least are going to need one guard, because I don't want Josh Garnett as a starting guard going into next season. Do you?
No, but I do think what we kind of talked about of the replaceability of certain positions, offensive guard is probably number one on that list.
I don't know. You watched Sunday Night Football last night?
Yeah, I don't know.
Quentin Nelson. Holy moly. That guy. It is a torn ACL for Tomlinson, which means he's certainly missing the beginning of next year.
Yeah.
So you might need two guards. I think at least you've got the tackles locked in, and unfortunately you've got the center locked in, because people need to understand this, and I understand the frustration, because for half the season he couldn't complete a snap.
Yeah,
Weston Richburg is here to stay, folks. They owe him a lot of money. They can't cut him without a massive cap penalty, and they're not going to go spend money on another center right after Kyle Shanahan said, this is my guy. You just got to hope he plays better.
And my almost bigger concern when going to the offensive line is a guy like Joe Staley more than the offensive guards, because he did not look great last year for sure. I mean, I think that's fair to say. And McGlinchey and just the state of the team has helped him play better. And that's why, you know, because I went back and forth with a lot of people on Twitter, because I posted a little mock draft of like a, you know, maybe a mystery type of things of what would happen. And I put, you know, I mocked them Jonah Williams, the offensive tackle out of Alabama. And a lot of people were like, they're really going to draft another offensive lineman? Well, who's that heir to Joe Staley? The most important thing on this team is protecting Jimmy Garoppolo, keeping that guy upright and healthy.
Wow.
And finding kind of the heir to Staley. I mean, could Staley fall off a cliff next season? I mean, who knows? He is getting older. He's been with the team for a long, long time. And I'm not taking anything away. I mean, the guy is an incredible player, but it's something to at least consider. And especially if teams are, you know, fighting to trade up, it wouldn't surprise me if the 49ers traded back and took another offensive lineman. Like, is that, and I think some fans might get upset by that, but I think it's a possibility to consider if we're talking about offseason plans.
I'm going to kick that can down the road slightly, because we're going to get deep into draft plans coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. While we finish off the evaluation of last year, though, I guess it is last year now. This year, last year, whatever you want to call it. Actually, let's take a call first. And if you want to weigh in on your evaluation of the year, that's where we're starting today.
Yeah.
How do you feel after a 4-12 season? Because I can understand those of you frustrated that last year was 6-10 and supposed to be building, and then you take another step back. But I think if you squint in the right direction, you can see the picture starting to come into focus a bit more. Let's go to his choice, not mine, Fat Guy in San Francisco. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing today? Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Hey, so check me out, man. I'm going to have to disagree with you guys. Our offensive line is horrible. You know, against, you know, mediocre teams, maybe our offensive line is okay, But the Rams showed yesterday that our offensive line is not up to par whatsoever. Secondly, if we don't do good in this draft, this upcoming year, Lynch is out of here. Lynch is going to have to go. And
oh, I totally disagree. I completely disagree, fat guy.
He hasn't proven himself as a GM. What has he done?
How do you prove yourself in 2 years?
There it is. Is he still there?
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, how do you go about proving yourself in a two-year period when most NFL players take a few years to really come into their own?
I mean, who's our big – let's look at our free agent signings. Who have we signed so far? Jimmy G, who's been mediocre since he's played this season. He didn't play a good season.
He played three games. He played the toughest three games of the season and then got hurt. I'm not sure we have enough judge.
Look at Nick Mullins. Nick Mullins did a lot better than what Jimmy G was producing the first three games of the year.
I think I'm pretty sure John Lynch signed him too.
And Jared McKinnon.
John Lynch signed him too, but he got hurt, so we don't know how good he is.
He got hurt, exactly. So there's nobody that you should be standing up clapping for right now.
Kittle?
Yeah,
George Kittle?
What about George
round?
Kittle? What about
Fred Warner?
Okay, what about Reuben Foster?
Listen, who else? Fat guy, Reuben Foster was a gamble that didn't pay off. And that's part of being a general manager. And I think this is the misunderstanding. In 2018, soon to be 19, everything has to be the best or the worst.
Mm.
We don't know. Tommy and I are not sitting here. And by the way, my co-host is Tommy Call. Follow him on the internet, Twitter, @Tommy_III, Tommy the Third. And catch his work at 957thegame.com, many other places that we'll get into later. But the problem is you can't necessarily say John Lynch is great or John Lynch is awful when John Lynch has only been doing the job for 2 years and some of his biggest gambles haven't played out yet.
Yeah, and I think it's a really easy take to look at Reuben Foster, and I even think Solomon Thomas is nowhere near as bad as people make him out to be.
I'll tell you a story about that coming up after the break. Quickly, let's go to Steven in Vallejo with his Niner evaluation. What up, Steven?
Hey, good morning, Kulski. Hey, Tommy, what's up, man? Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
I just wanted to go over the Niner season. Matt, you and I actually, I had a call into you and Herbs weeks ago talking about the Niners season after Jimmy got hurt, just about tanking. And what I enjoyed, actually, I didn't want them to tank, but I wanted them to be competitive in every game.
And lose as many as possible, right?
Yeah, and if they won or lost, so be it. But as long as they were competitive and showing bright spots, and I definitely think they accomplished that for the year. And for everybody out there saying that Saleh and Shanahan and Lynch should be on some sort of hot seat, all I got to say is, why don't you give them somebody besides practice squad players to put out on the field, and then we can kind of evaluate where they stand.
Yeah, totally agree, Steven. And as far, you know, I will say, as far as Saleh goes, I can understand some of the criticism, because I think one of the things that Saleh did, and we can debate the wisdom of this decision, but I think one of the things he did was say, this is my defense. When it has players in it, it works, and we're going to play it like we've got the players.
Yeah.
So he didn't do a lot of blitzing. He didn't do a lot of overly creative stuff to try to generate pressure from players who can't do it in one-on-one matchups. He set up the system that works with good players. Because like you said, we've seen it work all over the NFL.
Yeah.
It doesn't work with bad players.
It is the system that NFL coaches try to be. It is something positive where you look around the league and it's a defense that can hold maybe a team like the Rams.
Yes.
You know, if it works, which is a big if.
And ultimately, it might work coached just the way he coached it if the players were better. To Steven's point, if they were not practice squad players, which at best, a lot of the guys on this defense were third, fourth rounders and below by the end of the season, it might have worked. The problem I have is you knew you didn't have those players after week two.
Yeah.
So
I'd even argue week one against Minnesota.
I mean, really before the season started. So at some point, don't you change course and say, all right, this might work one day. It's not going to work now. So let's do some more creative stuff. Let's throw some more blitzes at him. Let's try to generate some of the pressure that we can't generate just beating the guy across from us.
I do think, though, what Steven said about the pressure on the maybe the trio of the, you know, the couple of power figures in this 49ers organization. I feel like, and I feel like this is such a easily thing to get confused as this crazy hot take buzzword type thing. I don't think hot seat is the right term, but there should be some pressure, right? Because
for sure,
for 2 years, there's been none.
And
absolutely none, Matt. I mean, but they need to be held accountable to teams like, you look how many guys got fired today.
Yep.
That were young guys that were tried, you know, hired when Shanahan was hired, fired for a lot less wins. You know, Vance Joseph, he had more wins than Shanahan. I'm not saying that makes him a better coach in any way, but
yep,
you're going to have to put some W's on that wins and loss record. And if that doesn't happen next year, then it's time to actually start the hot seat 100% in play.
I think especially for Lynch. And we'll keep rolling with this Niner stuff. We'll take more of your calls later, but up next, really, if we're talking hot seats, nobody better to talk to than the Santa Rosa Press Democrats' own Grant Cohn. Grant going to start some fires for the Niners. Coming up next, I'm Matt Kolsky. Tommy Call, the great Tommy Call of 95.7thegame.com.
Let's get it.
Sitting alongside me today, party with us for New Year's, people, on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
We are back on 95.7 The Game. I'm Matt Kolsky. Just to my right, that's not raising the roof. What are you doing?
It's just like a little wave, getting a little emotional in the booth here.
All right.
Some Juice WRLD.
He's, as Michael Urban would say, he is chair gigging. Tommy Call. Follow him on the Twitters at Tommy_III. He is a 95.7thegame.com contributor and an NFL draft expert, scouting school graduate. So naturally, a lot of football throughout the day today as we try to wrap up the Niners
season. I earned the football guy determination? I feel
football
like
football guy. Yeah, we gotta get the Chip Kelly sound.
That was my Twitter bio: aspiring football guy.
Aspiring football guy.
I just hope to be kind of my name to be linked with that someday. That's the goal of all this. I don't even care if I make it. Just hey, football guy.
It's all relative, man. On this show, you are absolutely the football guy. You're the by far the best football guy we've got.
I'll take it.
Although I'm going to reconsider that because now we bring in Grant Cohn to the show. Grant Cohn, of course, covering the San Francisco 49ers for the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. And I don't want to pick favorites, Tommy. You know, you're good. Grant's good. We don't need to fight about it. What's up, Grant?
Tommy's the football guy. We're all just living in his world right now.
All right. Fair enough.
I'll
take Grant's word for it. I want to confront you, Grant Cohn. That's a little strong. But obviously, everybody knows you've been very critical of definitely Kyle Shanahan, but even more so John Lynch. And I'm just wondering, finish a season 4-12, a couple of encouraging things the last few weeks. What is the Grant Cohn temperature on the 49er regime at present?
I think it's clear that they've done enough to not get fired by Jed York. And Jed York has a lot of reasons to not fire more people at this point in time. But if I were running the team, I would fire them both. And you know that.
Wow.
Those couple of wins were nice, but I don't put too much stock in them, and I put more stock in that blowout loss yesterday. I mean, just looking at the way they lost that game, you have to say they really haven't grown. They haven't really made progress. I mean, they're competitive at home, which shows that they have more talent than you give them credit for. They're 4-4 at home, but then on the road, they're 0-8. I mean, the Niners haven't been 0-8 on the road since 1979. I mean, really bad teams have won one game on the road, and when they're that inept, when they're getting knocked out in the first quarter on the road and they can go toe-to-toe with teams like Seattle and the Bears at home, that just shows unpreparedness and poor coaching. That's the way I look at it. I know you guys disagree, but I'm just giving you guys my convictions.
That's why we love you, Grant. I appreciate you coming on with us, man. It feels cool from Santa Rosa Press Democrat to 95.7, man. It's awesome.
Hey,
I had to take a second, Grant.
Absolutely, man. Good to hear you.
Thank you. All right. So I kind of want to know, because where you've been critical of Shanahan and these guys, I feel like you've been fairly positive on a guy like Nick Mullins, and he had a really bad day yesterday, but I don't feel like that defines his season. I'm willing to walk in blindly next year with him as the backup. Is that fair to say this game can't really define his whole, what he's done this year for the team?
It's part of the picture. It's 1/8 of his resume, and I wouldn't consider his game really bad. I mean, he threw 3 interceptions. He also threw 3 touchdown passes, and the offense scored 32 points. I mean, I thought the issue in the first quarter was across the board execution from the offense, especially the offensive line, not just Nick. I mean, he was getting blasted in the first half. The first interception, he got hit. It was a tip ball. The second one, he got hit again and threw a jump ball to his playmaker who didn't come down with the ball. I mean, maybe that was a bad decision. I thought it was a decent one, and then the last one was all him. But I didn't think Mullins played that bad. I mean, his rating was 88. If you go back a year ago when the great Jimmy Garoppolo played the Rams in L.A. against their backups, he threw two interceptions. His rating was 84. Everyone said, that's really promising. That's good stuff. I think people just are a little bit too hard on Mullins, and I'm not sure why. Maybe because he's shorter. Maybe because he was undrafted. But Tony Romo was undrafted, too. A lot of these stories have happened before, and I think if you just look at his production, you'd see that he's, you know, given the Niners 90% of what Jimmy Garoppolo was giving them in, just in terms of actual stats and production on the field. And I think it's kind of interesting why everyone looks at him as some, like, borderline backup. I mean, this guy beat the Seahawks. That's quite a thing to have on your resume, and I think a lot of teams are going to look at him as a potential starter next year, someone they could trade for, especially if they're considering Teddy Bridgewater, who did nothing yesterday. I don't know if you guys watched him.
He looked
awful. Yeah, he was bad. All right, Grant. Grant Cohn joining us from the Santa Rosa Press Democrat. Let's try to spin it slightly positive, and as you just did about Nick Mullins, and I think I agree with virtually everything you said there. Obviously, we can all agree George Kittle's a huge positive. Outside of those two, is there anything you feel like you can take forward and say, all right, well, we got that going for us, which is nice?
I like Kendrick Bourne yesterday. I mean, I thought he played well. He got six targets, made five catches. He made a really nice catch early on, jumping over two guys to catch a first down, and then he jumped over a defensive holding call in the end zone and caught a touchdown. He looks like a red zone target. He looks decent. Like before coming into the game, I thought he was replaceable, but now you go into the offseason thinking, well, he makes Pierre Garçon replaceable, and they can now draft a guy in the second or third round and feel at least confident with Bourne starting early in the season if the rookie isn't ready. So I thought Bourne made a big leap. I mean, Pettis was interesting, but he got hurt twice, and we all know he's a terrific route runner. He needs to show some durability and some strength and some more diversity to his game, but he's intriguing. All the running backs seem to do well in this system. Staley did well for a 35-year-old. McGlinchey did well at times, although I thought he struggled down the stretch. This is probably the most games he's played. He's in the week 17 now. He's probably hitting the rookie wall. Plus, he's played some good defensive players. Aaron Donald yesterday. So there are players. DeForest Buckner's fantastic. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a handful of guys. I think the bulk of the work still needs to be done, of course. But look, if you assume Jerick McKinnon will bring some value and Jimmy Garoppolo will bring some value, there's some value out there on this roster.
There's some value out there on this roster. Here, so next year is going to be really interesting because I think a lot of people are expecting Jimmy Garoppolo and McKinnon to come back and this team to be pretty good. I think people would be shocked if they won fewer than 8 games. And I'm not sure that they're going to be that good. I mean, Garoppolo is going to be coming off a major injury, and now the interior of the offensive line looks pretty shaky. Is he going to be comfortable stepping up in the pocket? They may need a new left guard, a new right guard, a new center. I think they have a lot of issues that one top pick isn't going to fix. They only have 5 draft picks. They may need to trade down. The way I look at this team is they still have a promising young offensive coordinator, but they don't have a head coach, and they don't have a general manager. They have a broadcaster, and they're going to be in trouble if they don't bring in someone to help that broadcaster make the pick this year. I believe that. I don't think they're in deep trouble of making another Solomon Thomas mistake. The last time he had a top 5 pick, that's the pass rusher he picked. Do you trust John Lynch's ability to evaluate pass rushers? Because that's what he's going to have to pick first. I don't know. It's risky, and it's high risk. A lot rides on his decision this year.
Kind of speaking of pass rushers, what we saw Aaron Donald do yesterday, and I think a lot of 49er fans just kind of surfing Twitter throughout the game was, the 49ers need to find a guy to stop Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
I mean, is that even possible? I'm of the mindset that the disparity between talent on the interior offensive line versus defensive line interior talent is the biggest maybe in the NFL, and I almost think you just punt that and you have to scheme away from him. I mean, is there stopping this guy? Is there a fix to this? Because he's not going anywhere for a long time.
You got to do the best you can. I mean, you can't put a guy like Mike Person or Laken Tomlinson there, but scheming away from him is hard. I mean, that basically means you can't ever run to his side. You have to run outside zone away from him all game. That makes your running game pretty predictable. I mean, he's good. He's really important. And if you just go out there with like replacement level guards, you're just asking to get knocked out in the first quarter. Now, they didn't have an opportunity to draft Quentin Nelson. That would have been one guy who probably could have gone toe-to-toe with Aaron Donald. They didn't have that opportunity. But again, I didn't really understand drafting Mike McGlinchey. He's shown promise, but that was like the one position they were kind of set at, was tackle. Trent Brown is good. I mean, he's doing a good job for the Patriots. The Niners really, really need a guard and still do. Laken Tomlinson may be out all of next season. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get a quality one in the draft. They also need so many other things, a wide receiver, a replacement for Pierre Garçon, a safety maybe, who knows?
Grant Cohn joining us, of course, covers the Niners for the Santa Rosa Press Democrat, and let's follow up right on that. What would you say the biggest need for this team is from a personnel perspective?
Oh, man, that's such a good question. Everyone seems to say pass rusher, and you can make a great case for that, but you could also make a great case for a defensive back.
Yep.
I mean, this team just set the record for fewest interceptions ever. They had two. So that's equally important. And you could actually – I mean, what my philosophy is, the way the NFL is going today, defensive line is pretty much a rotation position. You get run stoppers and edge rushers. The defensive backs are the ones that spend 100% of the snaps on the field. Those are guys you need on the field, and you need guys who can intercept the ball. So if they went with a cornerback first, I couldn't fault that. If they went with a pass rusher first, couldn't fault that. They almost have to get a wide receiver in the second or third round unless they sign someone. I mean, they almost have to get a guard. You figure they'd probably sign someone if Laken Tomlinson has a torn ACL. Weston Richburg has been a disappointment. Do you want him getting walked back into Jimmy Garoppolo next season? I wouldn't. So, I mean, there's a lot of things. Am I missing anything?
Probably. Linebacker. You'd probably need a linebacker, too.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you put this, you know, like you said about Lynch and his ability to draft an edge rusher, they're going to need to do something at that position. Would you rather see them, or do you think it's a better option to pursue that in free agency, going after a guy like, you know, D Ford or Anthony Barr? Or do you want them to go into the draft with that, with, you know, Cassius Marse and someone else at that position? And I honestly think it gives them a lot of flexibility if they kind of attack edge in free agency.
Sure. I mean, of course you want to attack edge in free agency. I don't see Anthony Barr as an edge rusher, but they can get D Ford. Great. Usually these guys get franchise tagged or signed outright. I mean, usually quality edge rushers just don't hit the market. And if they do hit the market, they usually don't sign with teams that won four games. That's the problem with winning four games. It hurts your position in free agency. But the thing that's interesting to me is it seems like a lot of people are saying that the consensus number two player in the draft is this defensive tackle from Alabama, Quinton Williams. If that's the case, is John Lynch really going to spend another defensive tackle to draft another defense? Can he really do that? I mean, that's like Matt Millen territory.
I know. I said that to Tommy before the show. He's going to be the Matt Millen of defensive tackles.
So, I mean, even if this guy is the next Aaron Donald, that's a tough decision. I don't know. Do you want John Lynch to make that decision? I would at least want someone to help him. I think I've told this to you before, but if I were John Lynch, I would hedge my bets here. If I were Jed York and I wasn't firing John Lynch, I would hedge my bets and just get someone to whisper in my ear and tell me what John should be doing. I would talk to not Balky, but Scott McLuhan, or Charlie Casserly, or Bill Polian, or someone who's put together a Super Bowl winner or a really good team, and say, hey, is John doing this right? Because he really has no idea what he's doing, and he's learning on the job, and he means well. He's a smart guy, but really he has no experience. Just tell me, is he on the right track, or is there some suggestion I should give him? Because this is such a make-or-break offseason.
I feel like Jed probably is doing that, and I feel like the guy might be Steve Young, by the way, that he's doing that with. Grant Cohn, always a pleasure, man. I love having you on, and thanks for taking the time. I know you're busy today with New Year's and postseason stuff and all that.
Hey, thanks for being gentle.
Oh.
Thanks so much, Grant.
The one and only Grant Cohn, ladies and gentlemen. Follow him on Twitter at Grant Cohn, C-O-H-N, is how you spell the last name. I love talking to Grant about this stuff because he's always going to have strong, hard takes on things, even if I disagree with him. But one place I think he kind of hinted at that I think is absolutely right is that there's this idea that, well, you're going to get Garoppolo and McKinnon back, and we already saw what Shanahan can do with mediocre offensive talent, so just imagine it's going to be great. And I think you're missing a lot if you're saying that. And before I tell you exactly what you're missing, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, radio home of the Golden State Warriors, where we're legal for the first time in 2 hours. And essentially what I'm saying is, yeah, that's good. Garoppolo comes back. McKinnon comes back. I think you can reasonably believe, guard position notwithstanding, you may need to shore that up, but you can reasonably believe that with those two guys coming back, as long as your offensive line can be made whole,